Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz, is always about great service. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Make sure you tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis, pregame beginning at 5:20. And the first pitch at 5:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour. We will get into all things Tennessee Titans and NFL with Charles. So looking forward to that conversation coming up later in the program. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up at 7:45. And taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025, our phone number. We are edging ever closer to the Stanley Cup Final, which means the launch of the NHL offseason right behind it. We've talked a lot about the Predators, their draft picks, and the selection at number 5, which we will get more into as the NHL draft gets closer. But we're getting right around the time of the year where people start to talk about, all right, we know who the free agents are going to be out there. What about trade targets? Who could be potentially moved this offseason? And they were having that discussion yesterday on the Daily Faceoff Live kind of podcast with NHL insider Frank Saravalli. And Saravalli put together his trade target list. And at number 5 on the list, he had Jonathan Marchessault of the Nashville Predators. And here was the conversation brought up yesterday on the Daily Faceoff podcast about Jonathan Marchessault and potentially him wanting out and being available this offseason via trade.
If you're a team starved for goals and you don't like Kreider, maybe you go down a couple of spots to Jonathan Marchessault. 1 year through his deal with the Nashville Predators, he's on your trade targets board, Frank. And listen, I guess we talked before about how Nashville might have to attach some assets to get rid of some money and free things up. Is Marchessault a guy that they could actually get some value for? And part two of my question would be, he has the partial no movement clause. How open is Marchessault to moving on after just 1 year?
I think he's pretty open. I think it's within reason, like isn't going to probably accept a deal to just about anywhere, depending on how he shapes his list. But I do think that when you look at his season, as down as it was for a Preds team that really, really struggled to score as a whole, he's another guy still ends up with 21 years in a bad year. And at $5.5 million, not an exorbitant contract by any stretch of the imagination. It's the term on it that's problematic for a 34-year-old. But if you're a team out there knowing that the cap is rising significantly and you have aspirations to take a big step forward next year, why can't Jonathan Marchessault be part of that in a 30 to 35 goal clip if you're betting high? I think it's a relatively low risk move, and I think he's open to the idea. I think in a perfect world, he would love to go to the Montreal Canadiens and go home. I don't know how open they are to that, given the term on his deal, but you could see him helping a pretty good offense already kind of continue to take that next step, and feels just like a true Marty St. Louis type player, doesn't he?
So that was the Daily Faceoff Live podcast, Joe, on Jonathan Marchessault. It says a few things there that are very interesting. Number one, Frank Saravalli putting it out there that he thinks Jonathan Marchessault would be open to being traded this offseason, and then connects a team to it, says in a perfect world, I think he'd probably like to go home to Montreal and play for the Canadiens. Now, the Canadiens apparently were in on him last offseason before he signed with Nashville, and according to some of the reporting out there, just weren't willing to go to 5 years. I think 3 may have been what they offered. So, Joe, I'm trying to piece all of this together. You've got the decision by the Predators to retain Andrew Burnett coming back as head coach. We know the comments that Jonathan Marchessault made after the season. Barry Trotz also talked about Marchessault and said that, you know, he'll leave some of the comments and conversations that they had behind closed doors. But you got all that in the backdrop, and now you've got Frank Saravalli putting it out there that he thinks Jonathan Marchessault would be open to a trade and names Montreal as a place that he feels like Marchessault would want to go. So what do you make of all this as you try to piece all of these different bits of information together?
Yeah, well, certainly that it's possible. And we talked about it back when, you know, when Burnett when it was official that Brunette was retained, it's like, is there, like, is it, hey, is it good to have Marchessault? And they've aired it out, and, you know, maybe a little bit too much in the media, but, you know, like, is that something this team needs more of? Or is it kind of like, well, if you're keeping Brunette, maybe Marchessault would be more likely to be moved just because he has gone kind of public with some criticisms and things like that. And it does seem like with some of the comments from other players that there's a little bit of, like, I think the Stamkos one, like, you know, you can complain all you want, but, you know, I mean, right. Who are they talking about? They're talking about him, right? Again, I don't know. There's definitely, like, is the room too nice kind of feel around this team too, but it seems like, I mean, like obviously listening to that from the Marchessault perspective, he's open to it. And I don't know why anybody wouldn't be after that kind of season. Like, if you had that kind of season and you're looking at the kind of the lack of ability to do a lot to change the team, I could see you being pessimistic about next year.
Well, and Montreal had a heck of a run in the second half of the year. They've got kind of a young nucleus there where maybe he could come in and be a guy that, you know, propels them a little bit and accelerates what they've got. So I understand it from that standpoint for sure. Like, I do wonder, like, do the Predators view it this way as well? Because, I mean, you did make a huge financial commitment to all these guys last year, right, with Shea, Stamkos, and Marchessault. And we all, look, we don't have to relitigate how bad last season was. It was terrible. We all know that. Are you giving up and pulling the plug on it after 1 year? And if not, if you are open to moving him, what are you looking to get back? Because they were talking there about an idea of, like, would Nashville have to retain some salary? Would you have to attach something to it if you're the Predators, like a draft pick or something, to get somebody to take on the rest of his deal? At that point, like, I agree with the cap going up the way that it is. I don't think that Marchessault's $5.5 million per year is, like, immovable. I do think the term of 4 years left at age 34 is going to scare some people, and they're just going to say, yeah, we don't want that. We don't want 4 years left with Jonathan Marchessault. I have no idea how the Montreal Canadiens would view that, but if you believe the reporting, I mean, a year ago they weren't willing to go to 5 years. So has their idea changed on the term based on what the season they just had was?
Well, so, you know, a lot of these deals, you figure, you know, last year or two, it's tough, you know, but maybe because they look like it's like, okay, now what if you did add a couple nice middle veteran pieces? What does that mean? Maybe they look at things differently based on last year.
Maybe so. I mean, it could be. And, you know, it's a very interesting dynamic they've got going on right now because, you know, Barry Trotz has talked heading into the offseason about hockey trades. He wants to make hockey trades. Well, I don't really know what the hockey trade you're going to make for Marchessault is if teams are that worried about the term on the contract. Now, maybe they can pull that off somewhere. And by the way, if they're open to moving him, it doesn't necessarily have to be Montreal. Like, I do think there's a limited no movement clause that he's got in his contract. So there are going to be some teams that are automatically off the list. But, like, you know, I heard that from Sarah Valle yesterday, Joe, about how he's open to it and then names Montreal by name. And I wonder, like, if behind closed doors, when Barry Trotz made the decision to bring Andrew Brunette back into the fold, then Marchessault look at him and say, yeah, try to move me this offseason. I don't know that. I'm not reporting that. That's just where my brain went. That's the speculation that I've got. Is it possible that Marchessault got through the end of all of this and said, yeah, I'd really like you to try to move me this offseason?
Yeah, no, I think it's absolutely possible. You know, there was also the talk there of, like, you know, it's got to be the right place, you know, which of course makes sense. But yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Maybe it's just back and forth. Maybe it's just best if you were somewhere else. Yes. Maybe it's best if I was somewhere else. You know? I think that's definitely possible. And look, he is, as we've talked about, he is more movable than others for sure.
Agree.
You know, and less of I still, like, to me, the ideal incredible turnaround for the Preds to become what we thought a year ago they might be. I look at everything else they have, and it's like, so you're still having to replace, you know, a guy who could certainly be a 25, 30 goal scorer next year, right?
Yep.
So, you know, how do you do that? What are you doing to replace that? But if there's addition by subtraction element here, then maybe that's it.
Well, and also, does Barry Trotz look at it after 1 year of an experiment that obviously didn't work and say, man, if I've got a chance to unload one of these contracts this offseason, I'm going to take that chance. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how Barry Trotz views that. I mean, Jared has made this argument, and I guess if you view it this way, you're right. I wonder how the owner views it. But at the end of the day, the only thing you gave up to get Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea was money, right? Like, it's not like you gave up draft capital or prospects or anything like that. Now, that is the owner's money, and if I'm the owner, I'm like, yeah, well, that's great. That's a lot of money that you gave up to go get all these guys.
And there is a salary cap.
And there is a salary cap, and the cap's going up, and all that's great. But I wonder if Barry Trotz looks at it and says, you know what, if I've got a chance to maybe unload most of this contract heading into the offseason, that may be something that he's willing to do. So it's been thrown out there. Jonathan Marchessault could be open to the idea of being moved this offseason by the Nashville Predators. Frank Saravalli of Daily Faceoff throwing it out there that maybe Montreal could be a preferred destination. What do you make of that? And should the Predators try to move him this offseason? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025. The PFL World Championship semifinals are coming up Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Just text in the keyword match to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. This is Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. 1025 The Game is your racing station. Tune in this weekend for all the NASCAR races at the Nashville Super Speedway on The Game. Presented by Green Trees. Tomorrow it's the Rackley Roofing 200 at 7 o'clock. Saturday, the Tennessee Lottery 250 at 6:30. And on Sunday, the Cracker Barrel 400 at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary located in Hendersonville, and a new location in West Nashville, available online at greentreescompany.com. Taking your thoughts on Jonathan Marchessault, 615-737-1025. Frank Saravalli putting it out there that Jonathan Marchessault, he thinks, would be open to the idea of being moved from Nashville this offseason, and listed Montreal as a place that he believes Marchessault would prefer to go. So, will the Predators try to do that this offseason? Should the Predators try to move Jonathan Marchessault this offseason? That is our question to you. A couple of thoughts to get to on that front. Brent on the YouTube chat says, don't attach a draft pick to dump Marchessault. Joe, by principle, I agree with that. Question is, like, if you're hell-bent on moving him, if you're the Predators, and that's the way that you have to get somebody to take his contract and the term left on it, how open would you be to doing it if you're Barry Trotz and the Predators? Now, to be clear, like, I don't think it's going to take one of the Predators, like, first rounders to move Jonathan Marchessault's contract. So I don't think it's going to take, you know, the 21st overall pick or whatever it is they've got at the bottom of the draft this year to move Jonathan Marchessault's contract. And if it did, I certainly would not do that.
Yeah, they got draft picks. So if you have to, yeah, as long as it's not something ridiculous, I don't think it's the end of the world. I mean, you look, you got, like, obviously, it's not like when you get to 1 year into a deal like this and you're trying to move a guy, you know, like, you got to eat it a little bit, you know, I mean, that's just how it is. So I don't think it's the end of the world considering the draft capital they've built up.
Chip from Mount Juliet says, Marchessault will be gone. With Trotz, it's in or out, much like we saw with Duchesne. Once he spoke out in the media, which were all true comments talking about Marchessault, I knew that his days were numbered. This from Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line. Joe, I'm sure that Barry Trotz, when he heard Jonathan Marchessault just kind of air it out to me over the offseason, probably didn't love that. I don't know if that means that, like, it was just as soon as he saw that, Barry Trotz was like, well, we got to get him out of here. But I do wonder, going back to what I said last segment, like, clearly this has been a process here of Marchessault and Brunette and Trotz, along with probably some other players, trying to get everything figured out and on the same page. And March is so set at the end of the year of, you know, going, what we did didn't work. So clearly we got to change some things here. And I just wonder how March is so feels about Brunette specifically, and if this could be maybe driving this conversation heading into the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, like I don't know that I buy. I mean, look, Barry Trotz's been a coach in this league for a long time. He's dealt with players who weren't happy, players who popped off in the media, right?
Yeah.
Every single one of them immediately given a one-way bus ticket out of town. I mean, you can't do it that way. But yeah, this whole conversation that we played last segment, it does. You know, it does make you think a little bit, like, okay, like the conversations, whether it was like I need to be out of here or not, just that it might just be better for all parties. Yep. If you can find a solution. Again, I say, though, you know, what is your, you know, what's who is coming in who right. can make an impact? Because I think somebody has to be, right?
I would assume so, because
easier said than done, but.
Well, it's way easier said than done. But also, Joe, like, I keep going back to this point. And Steven Stamkos was pretty, you know, adamant about this with some of his comments. Like, there's, I think, an idea with some in the fan base that look at it and say, well, they were so bad this year that Barry Trotz is going to look at this and he's going to say, well, let's just go complete youth movement here, and we'll just have like Forsberg, Stamkos, and Yossi, and those guys just kind of floating in the wind out there. And I don't – like, that's not the message that he's conveyed to these older guys. Now, you know –
can't be.
That doesn't mean that he's going to go into this offseason and pull off a trade for, you know, Tage Thompson or somebody like that. But it does mean, I think, that he has communicated a plan to them in the offseason – with the intention of getting back to being a competitive team next year. Whether or not he's going to be successful in doing that, I have no idea. Like, this could be as simple as they get back into camp next year and, you know, through the first 10, 15 games, it becomes clear that they're just not very good anymore. That very well could be their reality. I don't know. But I can tell you, like, Barry Trotz, to me, has clearly communicated some sort of plan to this veteran group that he's going to try to do something this offseason to where they're back. And they're being in a you know, challenging for a playoff spot next year, and then going from that. What that move specifically is, I don't know. But Joe, like, if you freed up Marchessault's money, would that make you more likely to maybe try something this offseason that you weren't necessarily prepared to do beforehand?
Right. You move him, and now maybe there's some sort of trade possibility that's a little bit more viable, you know, with the space you created. Craig says, if you're not getting anything in return, why are teams trading away players? What's wrong with telling a player, hey, you signed this contract, play and deal with it? Well, yeah, but I mean, the question is, is it untenable between this player and your coach? You obviously chose the coach. You said that we're going forward with this coach. Now, again, like I said, Robbie, yeah, it may not be for too long. I may not be for too many more hockey games, but yeah, that's what you did. So I don't know if that's the case, but sometimes you might be better off moving on yourself.
Yeah, maybe so. And you know, we got a texter that says you move Marchessault and Shea back to Carolina and do what he wanted to do from the beginning and get younger. Like, I don't think you can do that now. Like, they did not want to go rebuild a couple years ago, and they didn't, and they're not just going to do it now. Like, they're not going rebuild now, not intentionally at least, right? Like, you know, they didn't try to go rebuild this last year, and they ended up third worst record in the league. So, I mean, you know, you kind of did. You ended up with a top five pick, but it wasn't by design this past year.
Well, you just said, yeah, so, you know, Yossi, Forsberg, those guys can just drift in the wind as their careers peter out. But again, also, the goalie who starts the huge deal this year,
right?
Who you certainly hope against hope that there are multiple great seasons left of him, but why are you gonna, how about we wait a couple more years to see if he's good then?
Yeah,
let's see if, like, in 27 Saros is great. Really?
Makes no sense.
No, you have to win now. There's no way. I don't understand anybody who thinks anything but that. I understand Stilly wants to wait and see how some of these, you know, mid-level prospects pan out in 2031. Great. But No, reality in the real world is that you have to win right now.
Well, and again, what is that move this offseason? Is Marchessault part of it? You know, I don't think you're getting a huge return back for Jonathan Marchessault if you decide to move on from him based on the term left on his contract. And look, the bottom line is, Joe, if you're trading some of your players, and this is an issue you run into with the hockey trade idea that Barry Trotz is talking about too. Like, if you're trading some of your players, almost all of them are coming off bad years, right? Like, you know, Philip Forsberg wasn't bad. Philip Forsberg, if you look at the point total, had a pretty good year at the end of it. You're probably not moving Philip Forsberg. So other guys that you'd be interested in moving potentially didn't have very good years. So you're not selling very high on those guys if you're trying to trade them.
Exactly. And So try to just get young, be bad, but again, you're going to be stuck with plenty of old guys still. You cannot get totally young unless you just buy everybody out. What about that? You want to buy or just sell pennies on the dollar,
yeah,
and just be like the worst GM in the history of sports.
Yeah, it's a really tough spot that they're in. Now, I mean, who knows? I'm sure as free agency gets closer, we'll start to talk about some of this. Now, Barry Trotz has said that he doesn't really love the free agent class this year and does not expect them to be overly active in free agency. I'm sure they'll sign a guy or two. I don't think they're going to be like totally inactive in free agency, but I'm sure they'll make a move or two. But like this, you know, that was also when he had those conversations, you know, that was earlier in the offseason. And as he's thought about it, and if they do decide to try to move Marchessault, does that change your free agency plan if you're the Predators heading into the offseason? There's a lot of different layers to it that I think could be pretty interesting here.
Adam in Portland said, how irritating is it that if you take out an 18-game points break, Brunette definitely gets fired? Now we're talking about moving players that .. Yeah, that don't go on. Again, I don't look at this as like, oh, well, then he doesn't like Andrew Brunette. Brunette's our coach. We got to move him out of there. But it's just like, does he fit? You know, look, he complained about things. So maybe, you know, maybe it's on both sides of it. It just isn't a good fit.
Maybe. And that may be the best thing. Again, I still come back to, I don't know all of the inner workings of how Jonathan Marchessault was in the locker room. I know based on the rest of his career, Joe, like he hasn't been that bad. I think a lot of his teammates really like him. And he won a Conn Smythe Trophy as a playoff MVP on a Stanley Cup championship team, right? So, like, he's clearly carved out a way of doing things in his career that have worked. Maybe it's not a good fit here. You know, maybe with how bad last season was, he started to really grind people at the end of the year. I don't know. And maybe they think it's the best thing to move on from him. But I still go back to the idea of, like, I think you kind of need a guy like that, and I wonder if there's a way to salvage it if you're the Predators.
Yeah, like I think there is some merit to the idea of someone who's willing to just say whatever. There's some real nice guys in that team.
There are. There's no doubt about that. And Barry Trotz said it. It's not just us saying it. Like Barry Trotz says, I mean, sometimes they're probably too nice in there. So I took note of that, and I wonder how they address that this offseason. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A couple more thoughts to get to on the Marchessault front. Plus, another study that Rex Rhodes has found that really highlights Titans fans well again. Titans fans doing well in these Rex Rhodes studies that he's found. Yeah. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Rhodes, 102.5, 106.3, the game. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Incubus performing Morning View in its entirety, plus the hits with special guest Manchester Orchestra and Paris Jackson coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June the 25th. Be caller 4, 615-737-1025. Caller number 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Incubus coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Wednesday, June the 25th. 615-737-1025. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrow coming up at 7:45. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. So looking forward to that conversation. A lot of different thoughts on the Jonathan Marchessault front. We'll get back into that later in the program as well. Joe, you have another fan study that you found that really does a good job of painting Titans fans in a good light. You found a lot of things that make Titans fans look really good this offseason, including this one, which means that we have some of the most well-reasoned and non-angry fans around when it comes to the National Football League.
So look, I'm not going out of my way to find these, okay? I swear. And this one, this is a bookies.com thing. So I think a lot of these things are, I don't know, these people go out and do these studies, and you know, this is Jared, PR Communications, cdcgroup.com, bookies.com. But I think there's more merit to this one than the last one, which was like loyalty of fans, and it was like basically like attendance after the worst year or during the worst year after, you know what I mean? That one was flawed.
Yep.
But this one I think is interesting. This is a report analyzing the use of profanity on team subreddits in the past year. Okay. They're ranked in descending order from the most used profanity to the least used per 1,000 posts.
Okay.
And the Tennessee Titans fans, congratulations. You are 30th in terms of the most foul-mouthed NFL fans. You are some of the cleanest-mouthed NFL fans in the league. I'm very impressed. And by the way, Robbie, you, as a Green Bay Packers fan, 31st, tied with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Packers and Chiefs, only 72 out of 1,000 comments from Packers and Chiefs fans include profanity. Titans, just a little worse. They're 30th, like I said, with 74 out of 1,000 comments involving profanity. Wow. So way to be, you know, Chiefs fans, I can see it. Like, they win all the time.
Yeah,
so
what do you
like,
got to hey. What do you got to be mad about?
Yeah, like, hey, I mean, other than like, or like, I love that effing Taylor Swift, you know, or whatever. Sure. Like, you know, everything's great for them. Packers, a little bit disappointed last year. Sorry to bring it up.
Thank you.
Titans fans, for as bad as things have gone, to be that, you know, I think maybe there's a little bit of like Southern, you know, gentlemanliness, maybe that's part of this. I don't know, but congratulations. Now, let me just ask everybody if you can guess who the most foul-mouthed fan base is.
Oh, man. I'm going to go.
Actually, the top two are absolutely perfect.
I'm going Patriots. That Boston area has got a chance to be a little special up there. I'll go Patriots. Are they in the top two?
That's a good idea. That is a Thank very you. Good idea. No. Number one, with a bullet, the New York Football Jets,
that was going to be on the list.
154 out of every 1,000 comments. Thank you. 154 involve profanity. So
I thought it'd be more.
So more than double what Packers, Chiefs, Titans fans. Now, number two is really perfect placement. Not at all surprised, but like they have nothing to be mad about. Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah,
fans.
Well.
But you know what? That totally makes sense. They
were just part of the lexicon.
Yeah, their team just won it all. I promise you, in the season opener, like they're gonna like bring out the Lombardi and put up a banner, and yet they'll still boo the first.
Yeah, they'll boo Santa again right off the bat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in the middle of the summer, doesn't matter.
Exactly. First, anything that bad to have, they immediately boo their team. So
it's also like they go three and out on the first drive, and they'll start booing Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. It's like, geez, guys, calm down a little bit.
Oh, it's amazing. So then you go Bills. And I mean, to me, like, I don't know if any of these studies, and I don't know how you would do it, could give us blood alcohol content per fan base. I think the Bills fans
Number
would,
one.
But there's probably some correlation between drunkenness and swearing. So they're third, and then you're Patriots. So you know, we're very, very heavy in the Northeast with the bad language till we get to the Bears, which is, actually kind of warms my heart that Bears fans are high on this list with 127 out of 1,000 comments Same. Profane because they just suck, and it's a beautiful thing. So love to see it.
Michael in Madison says, they clearly didn't poll me after the Bengals playoff game a couple years ago. One texter says, swearing is a sign of high IQ, something strongly missing from the Titans subreddit. It's from an unnamed texter on the text line. Rexford, how do you feel about this? As weaving the tapestry of profanity, to go back to one of the best all-time movies, A Christmas Story. How do you feel about this and the Titans ranking so low in this regard?
Well, look, again, I'm actually – so I've never heard this. I have to react to this post. Swearing is a sign of high IQ. If so, I'm a freaking genius, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. Is that – I've never heard that. That's not really true, is it?
Don't know.
I thought the opposite
was – You can find a study for anything.
Yeah, that's true. So I'd love to think that that's true. David from Paris, Rexo can find favorable fan studies about Titans fans, but can't find a gas station. Good job, Joe. I found it. Like, I knew where it was. Yeah. I just had to just walk to it. Yeah, just didn't quite.
Well, in fairness, you know, Rexo's not really finding the fan studies either. They're kind of being presented to him.
They are. They're being sent to me, and I'm like, you know what? The last one, I kind of felt bad about making a segment out of it because it was kind of dumb. I mean, you know, right? But I think this one's kind of interesting. I think it's a worthwhile. I like the idea. Let's go through these 1,000 posts and give me, I mean, you range from 154 out of every 1,000 comments with swear words. Now, I don't see the definition of swear words. Like what is?
Yeah, what all qualifies?
Yeah, what qualifies? But still, you know, whatever. You probably stuff that you would expect, all the way down to the 72. I mean, that's a pretty big range.
I mean, I take pride in the two teams that I basically follow. Or it's like singing "Kumbaya" out there all the time with the Titans and the Packers.
Exactly. Exactly. A gentlemanly conversation, tally-ho, perhaps, is a term used by Titans fans. And again, it's like, so if you look down at the bottom of the list, I mean, the Jags are down there too, but that's probably because they don't even like that. I don't even know if they're able to like post on. Have they figured out the internet down in Duval yet? I don't know.
You're going to overtake Corey Curtis for like public enemy number one down in Duval.
Yeah.
Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
Let me tell you what, if they haven't found it yet, they're going to find it out pretty soon.
By the way, I like right there that Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting. Did you guys get that?
Thanks, James.
Yeah. Lions fans are 10th here with the most profane, which is, I mean, Cowboys 9th, Giants 8th.
Yeah, I thought the Cowboys Browns, might have Raiders. A chance to be a little higher.
Yeah, so Raiders, Browns, Giants, Cowboys, Lions round up the top 10. So, I mean, some of it totally makes sense, with the big city, the Northeastern Raiders fans, that makes sense to me, I'm trying to think at the bottom of the list here. Say you got some, you got New Orleans, you got Jacksonville, you got the Titans. I mean, a little bit of Southern, like, watch your language, watch your mouth, bless your heart.
Are the Arizona Cardinals fans, are they really upset all the time? I figured they'd be near the bottom too.
They are. Why can't I find them?
Are they on the list?
They are 20th, 86 out of every 1,000 comments.
A little bit more angry than I thought.
Yeah. Now, if you looked at comments on, I'm totally blanking on like video game names, so I just blew the
Call of Duty.
But, yeah, there you go. Thank you. And maybe that would be different. I don't know.
The Call of Duty chat. It's going just profanity's flying wild out there with their quarterback leading the way.
You never know.
We'll see.
You motherfucker.
But yeah. Still tense up every time I hear it. Every single time.
Good man, stuff. That's close, right?
We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up at 8 o'clock. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week, 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. 312 Pizza Company serves the best pizza in town, as well as Chicago-style eats like Chicago dogs, Italian beef sandwiches, and more. Head to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card to 312 Pizza Company while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Okay, thanks, coach. Yeah, all right now. Yeah, go play golf.
615 open day today, baby. We're going to get after it at Hermitage Golf Course a little bit later, so looking forward to it.
Now you will go to sleep, or I will put you to sleep.
Check out the name tag. You're in my world now, Grandma.
You got some golf on the TV, which has fired Joe up in the break.
Oh, yeah. More polyester pants. Tally-ho!
Can I ask you something?
Sure thing. Shoot, Timmy.
Danny.
You take drugs, Danny?
Every day.
Good.
I smoke weed constantly.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode. Joseph, with that beautiful introduction in the background, the floor is yours.
Very fitting. Very fitting. Little Caddyshack. Good stuff from there.
Great film.
How many times have we imitated Kaharsky's I Smoke Weed Constantly?
We add to it every week, I believe.
I guess so. By the way, real fast, this is Scott sent me one of the, it looks exactly like the type of study I just, there's no way this is true. What? It's a very like elaborate, like it looks very professional, well done. It's the drunkest NFL fan bases based on blood alcohol content readings. Like when are the readings done?
I don't know.
This just people who have been arrested? But it says the Titans fans are number one at 0.0937. But also the Jags and Jets don't have readings, and like Chiefs are down at a 0.05. I don't understand how you could possibly do this study. I doubt this is real, but I mean, it's funny to talk about. Titans and Colts fans, number one and two. Okay. I would not have guessed that. Some of the people on the text line are saying, you know, like this is a bad sign. It's like a sign of apathy, Ed, and some people saying that. I guess, but maybe Titans fans have adopted just the Hubert Davis way of going about life. You know, the Good Colts, thing. Fart them, you know,
maybe so. I mean,
yeah, he's like, I want him to slap violent. The fart out of you.
I'm
yeah.
like, I don't guess that would count in the actual, the rankings.
Right. No, I mean, maybe that's spreading. Maybe the Hubert Davis way of avoiding profanity is spreading.
You're doing the Lord's work here on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Farting A, buddy. Okay.
The fact that you amuse yourself with it really is the best part. he says it every time. He just starts chuckling.
I'm just every time I imagine Hubert Davis screaming at his team, say, "What the fart are you doing?" Yeah, just amazing. All right, so today I'm gonna use this platform to do two things. One. To promote an athletic story by me. I just don't feel like I've been, I just haven't been doing that. I mean, it's harder now, like doing just like college football. I there's not as much that crosses with the show. I did have a story today about quarterback dads that I thought turned out pretty interesting, you know, about basically the absolute nightmare that quarterback dads are. Within doing that story, I talked to Donovan Dooley. Now, I've interviewed him before, Joe Milton's QB coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's also QB coach for a lot of other people, including Bryce Underwood, who's the five-star going to Michigan. But Donovan Dooley wrote a book with Teddy Greenstein a couple years ago about quarterback dads and sort of all the issues with them, and he ranked them in all these categories. But here's my rant, and this is something, Robbie, that this is one of those recyclable rants. In the midst of this book, which is a great book, and I very much enjoyed it, but one of the themes that keeps coming up in this book is from, you know, in particular from coaches, you know, the don't specialize, right? And so every time I hear that, it triggers me. So again, let's review. I totally agree with the sentiment that, I mean, when we grew up, I think you guys could probably be the same as me. I know for my, you know, my age group, you played a different sport every season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for me, it was just simple. You play football, you play basketball, you play baseball. That's what me. And I didn't play soccer. You know, obviously, there's a lot more choices now, things like that. But you play different sports. You work different muscle groups. It's healthier. It's better. 100%. As a parent, my whole thing was, like, I don't want you guys just doing one sport. Let's do different things. But if you actually have gone through being a parent in youth sports, you understand. Unless your kid is a superstar athlete, and if your kid is, I agree, switch up. But unless your kid is one of those athletes that's just a couple steps ahead of everybody else, you can't do that, man. And I wish, like, so when you're trying to talk to parents in general and you give them that advice, it sounds good. But go through life with a kid who's, you know, working hard and he's similar in terms of athleticism to a lot of other kids. And if you don't specialize by the time you start getting into 12, 13 years old, then you go ahead and watch what happens in any sport you want to be in because the other kids are. And they're doing it all year and it sucks. I agree. I wish it didn't happen, but it does. And so if you don't do it, you will fall behind. That is reality. So I hear you. Don't specialize. Superstar 4- and 5-star athlete. Don't do it. Everybody else, I'm sorry, but you do not have that choice. ideally you can at least try. You have to do some things to try to do different things. Again, not work all the same muscle groups all the time. But once you get into the high school realm, I mean, football may be a little different, but like if you're whatever, baseball, bad, whatever it is, if you aren't working on that year round, you're just going to fall behind. And it's, I just think that people have this disconnect with the larger population and the reality of what that is. And every time I hear it, I'm like, guys, yes, but like, look around, like be logical about it. If a kid is working on his pitching or his hitting or whatever soccer skills all year round and has personal coaches and does all those things, and then you're bouncing around from different sports and you're the same general level of athlete, that kid is going to kick your kid's butt. I'm sorry. And it just, it gets annoying sometimes that like people seem to think that people want to specialize just because they want to specialize. I mean, everybody would like it to be more diverse, but it's just not how it is.
Rex Rhodes hates your kids playing in all sports. That's what we learned here on the program today. He doesn't like multiple sports for children.
Yeah. Fart all that.
You got me a mid-coffee sip there, and that was almost bad.
That was almost bad.
You know my favorite part?
I welcome your thoughts on this.
I welcome your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. I'm sifting through your quarterback dad story right now, and the best part to this point, because I've gotten three words in, is the picture of Nick Iamaliava at the top of it. It's just – you open the page, and there it is. It's Nick Iamaliava, baby. Good stuff.
Yeah, he would definitely be one of those top quarterback dads that inspired the story.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. Charles Robinson, go ahead.
By the way, Nick did not respond to a request for comment. I texted him. I
bet he didn't.
He didn't respond.
I'm stunned by that. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.